So there's a new show on Three. It's called Head Girl, and it's a six-part series billed as mind-bending and artistically ambitious. It's a dark comedy, quite dark, and it's inspired by Pōneki poet Freya Daly Sadgrove's debut book of poetry, making the adaptation quite a unique one. It's from Jo Raj and Tara Riddle and Harry McNaughton, with Robin Grace directing, and it explores the messy reality of your 20s, something we're all familiar with one day, one way or another. Either you're in it or you've been through it or you're looking forward to it. There's mental health, ambition, failure, social pressure, professional pressure. It's all there. And the show centers around three estranged best friends played by Liv Parker, Nee Dekkers Rehana and Tatum Warren Nutter, who are all spiraling out of control. Liv Parker is one of the three stars, and she's sitting here right now in front of me. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And welcome to BFM. How are you today?
I'm going good. I feel so stoked to be here, and yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You listeners, you might recognize Liv from TV shows like The Educators, Creamery, Celebrity Treasure Island, Silo Theatre's Play Fight, or her International Comedy Festival show, Werewolves, Vampires, and Harry Styles. Head Girl is her latest project, and how does it feel to have this out in the world?
Pretty surreal. Yeah, it's like I know, just watching the first two episodes last night was it was super surreal. We shot it last year, and so just kind of having it out there in the world, knowing what the experience of shooting it was, and then to then, you know, watch a fully realized version of it out there for people to watch and take from. And yeah, it's so cool. I feel so proud, but it's pretty surreal. Yeah.
Is this your biggest project to date?
100%. Yeah. It's like, this was the first time I've ever been part of a leading kind of position. It's kind of like really the first time I feel like I've tracked a character's journey from beginning to end. My experience before this was more like day play roles, and I was doing more crew work and more theatre, so this was a big first for me. Yeah.
Was it nice to share the load between the three of you rather than having the spotlight on just one person?
100%. We were really reflecting about that last night. Actually, I saw Tatum and Nee, and we were just talking about how that was such a special experience to kind of go through it with the both of them, and I really felt like I could lean on both of them and we could all lean on each other, and it was super cool, and I feel really grateful to both of them actually. Like, yeah.
Are you guys close now? Were you close before? Or
I knew Nee before, but I'd never actually worked with them before, and this was my first time working and like really meeting Tatum, and so that was awesome, and I feel like we all bonded really fast. It was interesting because of just like the way that the shoot was scheduled. We actually didn't have heaps of days like together on the shoot, but all of the kind of prep and all of that, like we forged like a really beautiful connection, I think, between all three of us. And but this was like the first time that we all got to like really work together. And yeah, I like kind of, I knew of Tatum and I knew Nee, but I feel like I got to like really form these like cool friendships with both of them. So yeah.
How long was the shoot? And it was in Wellington, right?
It was, we actually shot in, we did some of the shoot in Auckland and then some of the shoot in Wellington. And it was about a month. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And because the show itself is set in Wellington, in a very Wellington flat.
Yes.
How does that sort of Wellingtonness come through in the series?
Oh my gosh. I feel like it's interesting because, for Dee, the interesting part was I didn't actually feel like I left my flat a lot, which was actually felt very real to my experience of living in Wellington.
Yeah, because you flatted there as well, right?
Yeah, I did. I went to Toi Whakaari there and I studied there for 3 years, and I feel like I was saying to you off air, like, I feel like I didn't leave Newtown for 3 years. I feel like you can really get a sense of the city in the show, which is like also such a joy. And I think it was just cool to kind of be in that. And I feel like that's also props to like all of, you know, the crew and like the designer and all of that, everyone kind of working and Kristen, the costume like designer. Yeah, I feel like that really comes through in each of their own like style, like the way that they kind of use clothes to represent who they are as well. I just feel like you can feel a kind of a sense of the tone of Wellington like come through, which is really fun.
Yeah, it sort of gives it a sort of sense of place, especially for a local production, which is quite important.
Hard out. And for young people as well, I think, like the age that they're at as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So you said it's set in Wellington. You lived in Wellington for a few years.
Yes.
You are based in Auckland now.
I am.
You grew up in Christchurch.
Yes.
How do those cities compare for you? And which do you reckon is the best one to live and flat in your 20s?
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, hard question.
That is such a hard question. I mean, they're all so different, I think. I mean, Christchurch to me, obviously I grew up there, it's home. It was also, I mean, I was 15 when the earthquake happened, so also I feel like my experience of the city is also very kind of, when I think about it, has like a very two different very energies. It's kind of got the energy of before the earthquake and then the energy of after the earthquake. Mm. And then now that I come back and visit, it has a whole new energy again. So yeah, and then Wellington for me, I was like, when I was living there, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm really an artist, and this is what it feels like to be like a young person and a young creative.
You feel quite bohemian in Wellington, eh? and you feel like a dick.
I think it's like important to lean into it, you know. I think it is, like, we all do it. and then Auckland was like, I was really nervous to move to Auckland actually before. I knew that it was inevitable, but it felt very kind of, you know, big city lights. Yeah. And so that was like, I think they all have very different energies. Mm. I don't know what the experience of, I mean, because I've lived such different parts of my life and all different through them, I couldn't imagine being in my like early 20s in Christchurch, and I also couldn't imagine that in Auckland. I think because it was just, I had such a specific experience of that in Wellington, but also I've got friends that did, you know, that did that in it, and I mean they thrived, so.
And you're quite happily living in Auckland now?
Yeah, I am. I feel like it took me a good 3 years to feel like I could land my feet here a bit. But now that I'm here, I feel like I've got such a cool community of mates and artists and friends and family here that it does more and more every year. It feels more like home. I mean, home will always be, you know, Christchurch, I think, ultimately. But, like, it does, I feel settled here in a way that I, when I first moved here, I was like, I don't think I'll ever feel that, but I do feel it now. I love living here. Yeah.
Are you an Auckland advocate, like your brother Chris Parker, who loves to talk about how good Uptown is all the time?
I actually am. I mean, when that was one of the first things he said was, I mean, because also I did long distance with my partner, so for the first kind of like, for a long time, actually, so for 8 years. And so, you know, a good chunk of that was actually while I had first moved to Auckland, and I was like, oh, I was struggling. And I think it's quite easy to feel sometimes, especially as a young person, I was like, even though I had family and stuff here, I also did feel quite lonely here. Mm. And I think it can be a city that when you do feel lonely, it really hits. Mm. And so I remember kind of feeling that a bit, but Chris, I mean, amazing big brother as he does, kind of gave me a huge pep talk and was like, 3 years, 3 years, and then I feel like you really feel your feet land on the ground here.
Yeah.
And it was true. I think every year it got a bit easier to live here, and then I really started to enjoy it. And now I'm like, I couldn't imagine, yeah, my life anywhere else right now. And yeah, I really, I think that's such a testament to the community of people that here, and yeah, I do love it.
I also was reading you're a fan of Xi'an Food Bar.
Yes.
I had it last night. It's so good.
Oh, eh? My God. It's delicious. It got to a point where I was probably having it once a week.
Yeah, I've had it twice this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. You literally can't beat it. I'm like, oh, my God. I love it. It's so yum.
What's your go-to?
The pork. Yeah. Well, I can't
number
remember.
Number 37?
Yeah, number 37. Yeah. I was like, what? It's like either 30. Yeah. I was like about to say 41. Not 41. 37. And then always with more, like a lot of vinegar. Yeah. I love
it. Yeah, the vinegar's really good. I usually go for 301 or 25. Depends on the weather. 301 is just like spicy beef soup noodle thing.
Yum.
It's like bright red. It's amazing.
That is the thing, is that I've learned my lesson of having to wear dark clothes that are okay to be stained.
Splash proof, yeah.
Because I'm messy as it is. And so Yeah. But also, I think it's a, I'm happy to, that's a fine sacrifice for me because it's so delicious. I really don't.
Okay, but back to Who Girl. I sidebarred us. It's based on the poetry book. What was that like to sort of use as a source material? Because it's not autobiographic, this book. It's more, I don't want to use the word vibes, but you know, it's a feeling and a sense of time in your life.
It was so, useful sounds like a weird word to use, but it was super useful, I think, because obviously there was, we had the script, which was awesome, and then just having, I carried Freya's book with me like every day on set. It was almost like a Bible in the sense of like if I ever felt stuck, I could always go back to her book and really go back to her words, and it would just land me and a bit, even sink me deeper into kind of like the work. Or because, you know, there's also scenes that were like just hard to we go into some really dark kind of territory, which I think is important to dive into, but also if there were moments where I was like, oh, I don't know how to access this, then it was always such a useful resource, because also Freya's words are so affecting as well. And I think that's the amazing thing, is I could read it and be like, oh, this isn't my personal experience, but also I can completely connect to this feeling and put it into, yeah. So it was just, long story short, so useful and special, I think. And
quite a unique resource as an actor to have
very
that to
unique
pull from. And your character is called Dee.
Yes.
And has been described as a self-destructive party girl, or more charitably, a free spirit. Can you tell us a bit about her?
Yeah, I think when I first got the audition, when I first read the script, I was like, oh, I was so nervous, because I was like, this is very different to, she's very different to me, and it's very different to anything I've ever done before. And it was like, can I do this? It was like my first question. But also,
you're not a messy party girl.
No, I'm not. Although there's a part of me that's always like, I look at like my friends are a bit like that. I'm like, oh God, they're so cool. But I think that is a part of Dee's charm, is that like she is super magnetic. And that was part of the reason why I was like, oh, I'm nervous about this, because she is acting in a way that is self-destructive. And times you're like, oh, I don't know what, like, I just kind of wrestled with her kind of behaviors. But then also at the same time, she has this kind of magnetism and this charm. And so to be able to pull that off was like a daunting thing, I think.
Yeah. And to, you know, take on a flawed character, you know, and still have some, find the humanity in them, even if they're behaving badly.
Definitely.
Or making terrible decisions.
And I think that was like the most important thing to try and find early on, was, I think the thing I realized quickly is, oh, she feels things really deeply, and she has a huge heart. She just sometimes doesn't know how to use it. And I think also all of the feelings can feel scary. And so in order to try and distract or get away from those feelings or facing them, the things that she does as like coping mechanisms or something. Yeah. And I know people like that as well. And I love them. And some of the most fun and magnetic people that I've met in my life are also like, you know, I can feel that kind of edge.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very real thing.
Do you think the show is going to be a bit triggering for people watching it?
Definitely.
And taken back to their own behaviour or current behaviour and
hard out? Yeah, I think so. I think also it's when you're also at that age, I think it's kind of sometimes I think almost like you feel like you should or you do know all the answers. And then, so it's just like maybe giving ourselves a bit more grace to be like, it's okay to not know, and to like, be trying to, I don't know, to try and figure it out and not have the answers. But also I think like this will be, it's very, I think it is triggering content. So I think also with that people, if it's like, people might start watching it and then be like, oh, this might be actually too much for me right now. Mm. And that's also totally okay. Mm. I think also it does maybe raise a mirror to some questions that are important, I think, especially for young people at the moment.
Yeah, and sort of self-reflective kind of viewing. In that sense, it kind of made me think a bit of Girls as well.
Hard Out. That was the first thing I did actually when I booked it, was I was like, I've seen Girls before and it's such a big fan, but I binged it all because I was like, it was inspiring for me to watch that in terms of how kind of they also access sex for like young women and I knew that there was going to be a lot of that in this for my character. So I was like, it was like a kind of a way of trying to get a bit of bravery, and it was good. It was really inspiring. It was a really inspiring watch actually to go into this show. So it's interesting you say that.
Yeah, interesting. Your own 20s, what were they like?
Well, I was at drama school.
Yeah.
I didn't know who I was. I still don't know who I am fully at
all.
No one
does.
Exactly.
You never do.
And so I think, but I think I was just starting to figure out a bit more about the fact that like I, you know, thought I knew who I was, which I really didn't. And then I left everything that I knew, which was Christchurch and the people that I grew up with and my family and all of that. And I moved to a new city. And I think it was the first time in my life that I was really felt a sense of independence to be like, start to follow curiosities as to like, I find this thing fun this thing's interesting, and just start to explore a little bit. But also I definitely wasn't ID, like I was still a bit I was a nerd in terms of like I was at drama school and I was like, I gotta give everything to my drama school kind of learning and I've got to be a good student. I wasn't out there partying hard I was kind of more like watching films with my friends in the flat.
What was the biggest lesson you learned from your 20s?
Oh my gosh.
Or your biggest mistake?
Oh, I think just, that's such a good question. I think just like that thing of like not you not knowing who you are is okay, and not having the answers is okay, and also, I think the thing I'm learning is I feel things quite a lot. I'm a big feeler. And so, and all of my life, I kind of, especially growing up, it manifested in ways where I felt really guilty or I felt a lot of shame about that. And then, and this is something I'm actually still learning, but I think I just started to figure out in that kind of age, was like, oh, maybe I don't need to apologize for that as much. And you can have big feelings and that's okay. And also you can, there are parts of yourself that I think the other thing is I constantly felt like I was trying to be a chameleon in my life. I was trying to like kind of adapt parts of myself to fit in with others, to feel like, is this what I should be into? Or is this the thing, or to feel maybe accepted? And then I think my early 20s, I was really, and in my 20s, I was like, oh, I can just maybe like the things that I like, and that's also okay. And it doesn't need to be to please anyone else. It's just because I like it.
Yeah.
So it's just, and also they can be two kind of things that don't have to make fully sense, you know, like I can.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense, just like, you don't, there are parts of yourself that can be contrasting. You can like one thing and then also that can change.
I don't know.
It's just, I think feeling like that I really felt that thing of wanting to be a bit of a chameleon and wanting to kind of just fit in so that I would be accepted, and then actually realizing, oh, I don't think I'm being fully true to myself.
And sort of accepting that there's lots of moving parts to yourself, you know?
Exactly.
And then your 20s and beyond.
And then you're, and like those moving parts can change year by year. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's just part of growing.
Exactly. And I mean, okay, there's lots of moving parts in Head Girl. There's lots of personalities. There's lots of feelings. And it's out now.
It is out now.
On 3 and 3 now. Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming to talk to us today.
Thank you for listening to my ramblings.
It's good. We like talking about feelings on the show, so thank you for humouring me.
That was
Liv Parker, and her interview will be up on the BFM website this afternoon.